Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Whisker Report. We are a brand new podcast dedicated to helping pet industry professionals learn the basics of PR and marketing. I'm Mary Tan, and I am the host, and I have a really wonderful colleague across the pond, Alexandre Ricard, who also is a voice of the Whisker Report. Bonjour, Alexandre.
Bonjour, tout le monde. I'm so excited for this show today. We have one of the person with the biggest heart that I've ever met, Tricia Montgomery of Moses March. And so we're going to introduce her to you in a second. But first, I just want to introduce you to Mark Winter of Pet Life Radio, our producer who get us to you each and every week. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. Bonjour. I love saying that. Bonjour.
By the end of the show, you'll have the perfect French accent.
I know.
All right. Well, you know, we're so honored, of course, to be part of the Pet Life Radio Network. And, you know, you can do PR for yourself. And Alex, Mark, and I are going to make sure we're going to do everything to try to help you.
For sure. And so today we have Tricia Montgomery, who not only runs the national nonprofit Moses March, she's also an entrepreneur. Tricia, you wear so many hats. Can you just tell us a bit about yourself, introduce yourself? Who are you?
Absolutely. So I'm just going to go bonjour. How's that sound?
Perfect.
I mean, that's the best Southern twang I've ever heard from a French accent. It is such an honor to be with you guys today, and thank you for having me. I'm Tricia Montgomery. I have been in the veterinary profession, pet industry, and animal welfare for over 25 years. I first started with the Chicago Veterinary Medical Association as their public education director and their executive director. And that actually started from my story of being very obese and losing weight with my dog. And it was all because a beautiful veterinarian really saw me and had a heart-to-heart talk with me, per se. So I was with the Chicago VMA as their public education director and their executive director. During that time, I also got to do the PR for the International Kennel Club show of Chicago as well. That was part of our duties as well. I left the CVMA in 2008, and I began to start canine fit clubs, which were gyms for people and dogs all across the country. At one point, we had 80 licensed locations, and just incredible time, absolutely incredible time. And I leaned upon my veterinary profession and the people that were part of me within the veterinary profession. I had the good fortune to be on the Today Show numerous times, Good Morning America, Fox News, NPR, BBC. I mean, it was a very incredible time for us. Media was certainly out there. As I was in the process of selling the company in 2019, I realized that I wanted to be trifecta, per se. And so that was the veterinary profession. And I'd been in the pet industry and really crossed over into the health industry, crossing those two, kind of crossing the streams like Ghostbusters. You can do that, though, as opposed to Bill Murray, you can't cross the streams, you can cross the streams. And I wanted to go into animal welfare. So I put my name out there and received a number of opportunities. And I decided upon Columbus, Georgia. I went where I was needed. And I became CEO for Paws Humane Society. That was right before the pandemic hit. And so that was a very interesting time, you know, just coming brand new into an organization and working with them through, you know, uncharted waters, as I called it. And we did amazing. I'm really so proud of us. Turned the organization around, turned a struggling veterinary clinic to where they were going to close it until a three-doctor practice, received more donations than we've ever received before, really turned everything around for them. And then I realized that I'm better nationally than I am locally. As I always say, I'm better on the outside than I am on the inside, because I feel like I can do so much more for people and for organizations. And so I continued to work with them, but I stepped down as CEO. And then I've been consulting. In late May 22, my dog Moose passed away of cancer, and it really destroyed me. And I think that's the only word that I can use for that, is I found myself on the floor and I didn't want to go on. And I've never been struck with grief of that magnitude ever before in my life. And I think it was my father had passed away the year before, my dad and my mom passed away, and then Moose passed away. It was like, wow. And out of my grief, And I always say this, thank you to my beautiful sister, Cheryl, and the Association for Pet Loss and Bereavement. I was able to come, you know, to find a way out. And I created Moose's March out of that grief. And we're a 501c3 dedicated to the early detection of pet cancer. And we go across the country nationwide, and we provide early detection tests to veterinary clinics within animal shelter in underserved areas. We also work with universities. We do have limited grants for some of those universities where you can help with pet cancer treatments. I also have a podcast called the Pets Your Family Podcast. Mary, you've been a guest on that.
Yes, that was so fun.
I know. We always have fun. I always have fun. And then I work as a liaison for a beautiful company called Farm and Yard Products. And then I am also involved in a project in Saudi Arabia for the line. And I'm working towards them building the city with infrastructure and all. It's just a very incredible project that'll be finishing up 2030. So I have the good fortune and the blessing to be involved in so many different companies and organizations.
That is amazing. I have a question for you. You've worked in for-profit and nonprofit. Can you describe what it was like doing PR for for-profit versus nonprofit? Do you think it was the same, or did you have to change any?
I think, first of all, for non-for-profit versus for-profit, I think it's easy to look at non-for-profit and go, you know, everything's going to come to us because we are a non-for-profit. And that is not the truth. You've got to work twice as hard. You've got to really, because of all the competition, especially in animal welfare, you really have to make sure that your messaging's on point and that you're getting to things early, that there's a line and a hook, and that you're really getting your message across. For-profit organizations tend to have a larger budget to work with, to where you can make the proper per se hires or have somebody in-house doing that work. But I think the commonality in both of them is the relationship that you create and connecting with people. And I think if you've got that gift, and if your organization has got that gift, then I think you're well on your way to creating awareness for that organization that you're representing.
Are there any specific campaigns, not to put you on the spot, that you really like some best practices that worked for you that, you know, maybe other pet businesses or nonprofits could, you know, learn from?
Well, I think it's a lesson of never give up. I will take you back to the days of the Chicago Veterinary Medical Association when I was public education director. I think the year was 2003, 2004, not sure. And I had an idea that I wanted to bring dogs to the ballpark. And so if you go back in time, that was actually me and working with Steve Dale, and, you know, and we had an idea. And so I went to Wrigley Park, and they basically just laughed me out of the park. And then I went to the Chicago White Sox at the time, and there was a man by the name of Dan Pulver there who had a beautiful German Shepherd, and he got it. And it took us probably, I don't know, maybe to at least 2 years to get it off the ground. But when we got it off the ground, it was something incredible that now is something nationwide that people around the, you know, the U.S. celebrate with their dogs, taking their dogs to the ballpark. I think it's something of tenacity. It's dedication. And if you have an idea, don't give up on it. If you really believe in your heart that this is a really good idea, keep trying. I will also say, I don't know everything. And I will never, ever profess to knowing everything. And I think that it's always wise to gather people around you who are know more than you. And I don't want to say better than you, but they are better than you in the field of their expertise. And so I always say, surround yourself with people who can advance your cause farther, who have a connection, and they're going to be able to really assist you in moving things forward. And I think that's one of the best gifts that I can give is, you know your lane and surround yourself with people who are great and never burn bridges.
That's amazing. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to learn more from Tricia right after this.
Cat furniture is supposed to be a jungle gym. Most cat furniture hardly passes as a plant stand. So I set out to build my own.
Daryl Michelson, owner of Purniture Cat Furniture.
My cats absolutely loved it, and then that changed everything. We are using 4x4 posts, and we are also using what are called cores, which are half-inch thick tubes.
You can see the Purniture difference online at Purniture.com. That's P-U-R-R-N-I-T-U-R-E.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back. I actually have a question for you, Tricia. So Moses March is your nonprofit, and I was wondering, what kind of PR challenges have you had with Moses March as a nonprofit? Like, what kind of challenges?
Getting through the noise, cutting through the noise, because we first launched as a program in October of 22, and then we became our own 501c3 in 2023. And I actually knew that I, as much as I do PR, I wanted to have somebody who was better than me and could perhaps push the message more than me. So I actually hired Whisker Media, and they did just a beautiful job. I think there, especially during those days like Giving Tuesday, there are so many people competing for that dollar and that space. How do you place yourself above that? And I think being on point with messaging, being on point with who you are and your purpose, what you're going for from a standpoint of why am I raising funds? Who am I raising funds for? The beauty about Moses March, and that I think throughout my life, I've had a personal story attached to things, whether Canine Fit Club, that was a story of me losing 130 pounds with my dog. Moses March is a very personal story for me with Moose, losing Moose, it, you know, gone within 2 weeks of stage 4 lymphoma. So there's been a personal connection to the audience. But I think to answer your question, Alex, it's cutting through the noise and finding that right message and being on point with that message.
You're coming from a kind of a PR background, right? So you've done PR for a while, but do you find it hard to do PR for yourself? Because Moses March is so personal and it's your personal story. So do you find it hard to do PR for your own self or your own story?
I do. I am a firm believer that CEOs or founders should not promote themselves. That's just my opinion, because I think that you're running the organization, you're wearing many, many hats. And now, hey, I'm Tricia Montgomery, and I want you to interview me about, you know, the days of the PR stories where you could pick up the phone and call somebody and go, hey, I've got an idea, you know, come on with it with a product. Those just don't happen anymore. I think you've got to be very concise in your approach, who you're talking to, the media, and if at all possible, to be able to hire someone that can do, I don't want to say the word better than you, that's not fair, but I do want to say somebody who knows the business and the business of the media that could place you and you could gain more awareness so your organization grows stronger and more successful.
So I have a question. I hear so many business owners and rescue leaders tell me, you know what, I can't hire anybody to do PR or marketing for me. I just don't know what I'm doing and I need help and some guidance, but I can't pay you.
Yeah.
Tricia, how did you learn the basics of, you know, getting attention for all the different businesses and nonprofits?
Mary, I don't know. I think I have a gift that I'm very me and I don't try to pull any punches about who I am not. I make mistakes and I own those mistakes. And I think just being real with people and saying, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I need help. And I have made massive mistakes before. I don't know if I can share the story with you, but I think that I can. Way back when I became public education director for the Chicago Veterinary Medical Association, and we're going back to 1993. I was so proud of it. And so I'm like, I'm going to write a press release and I'm going to contact everybody. And so I had this massive list of people from the Sun-Times, Chicago Tribune, oh, wow. WMAQ, all of these amazing people. And so I wrote a press release. And according to our guidelines, you know, I had to pass it through the Public Education Committee, which were this esteemed group of veterinarians who'd been on the Public Education Committee forever and ever and ever and ever. And they looked at the press release. Everything was absolutely fantastic. Glowing remarks. Thank you so much. Sent it off. And I think about, I don't know, maybe 4 hours later, 5 hours later, I received a phone call from someone from the Chicago Sun-Times. And she's like, hi, this is, I'm not going to mention it. This is from the Chicago Sun-Times. And how are you? Are you Patricia? And I said, yes, I am. Well, tell me about your new role in what you're doing. So I was very excited telling her more. And this continued on, this banter continued on. And she said, do you actually read your announcements that you're sending out? And I go, oh, yes, ma'am, I do. And she said, and I go, we have a committee that reviews it. She goes, well, next time you may want to like look at the spelling. And I forget things ever. I had left the L out of public. First time for sending out a press release and left out a very important letter. And I had reviewed it. My committee had reviewed it. My husband at the time had reviewed it. We all make mistakes. And just, you know, I think that's why it's always so good. Yeah, I mean, you guys, we all make mistakes and owning that and now being able to laugh at that, you know, 30 years later, that you can go, wow, this happened to me. And let me tell you, and I literally wanted the ground, you know, swallow me up whole and just like, but that happened. So know that you're going to make mistakes and know that these things can happen and to be able to laugh about it and go, you know, I am green. I am so new that I'd really like your help. And I think that that actually turned into good because we actually got a column in the Chicago Sun-Times later. So, yes.
That's amazing. And, you know, that's really unique that the reporter called you to point that out to you. Usually the people that are like really invested in you, they probably wanted to make sure that your organization looked good. Because a lot of people think that the news media and you know, the public are enemies. Some people would want you to think that, but a lot of times, a lot of the reporters have your best interest in mind.
They do. They do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She played cat and mouse with me, though. She played this little game back and forth. And she was like, no.
Yeah. And that showcases the importance of having somebody else. Now, yours is really unique because it went through how many people? 20, 30 people before?
I might say probably close to 12 people it went through before that. Yep.
Wow. And that just goes, you know, a different set of eyes. I mean, I always have somebody else look at our press releases. Alex sends hers to me and reverse that too. And it's really important because I've had situations where mistakes have gone and you know how fast things spread in the media, right?
Like to, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it can go all the way to the network incorrect, you know, so it's important.
Yeah.
But wow, that is amazing. Well, we need to take another quick break and then we'll come back to Tricia again.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back again. Another little question for you, Tricia, is so you wear so many hats, you do so many different things, you're involved in so many different projects. How do you stay organized? How do you stay on top of everything?
It's interesting. I don't keep everything in my head. I actually write things down and I take my day and I divide it into different segments of what is needed to do. I prioritize very well. As far as, you know, this is my A project, this is my B project, this is my C, can this wait? I assess things probably midday I look at them again and determine what I'm going to do, what I'm not going to do. Can this be eliminated? Has one project taken longer? I'm a pretty organized person, I have to say that, but I think I'm gifted that way. So I'm able to multitask things. And I find that everything that I do actually complements each other in some way, shape, form, or the other. So if I'm talking about, you know, whether it's from a farming yard and it's about animal welfare, that actually complements Moose's March, or it complements my other roles. And I think that it's just from that standpoint, it's important to be organized. It's important to make a list, being able to, you know, write down what you need to do and follow that. Because if you don't, you're lost before you start. I always plan my week on Sunday night. So Sunday night, I have my list of items that I'm doing, what I'm doing, what I need to accomplish, what's going to be the priority. And then I look at that throughout the week. I also have what I love to call my 3x5 note cards. And I have 3x5 note cards. And so I take notes on each of those and I make sure that every one of those check marks are gone by the end of the day. I'm working a lot of hours. So I probably begin work around 4:30 in the morning, or I start my day around 4:30 in the morning. And I really don't stop till probably 8 p.m. at nighttime. And that's Monday through Thursday. I find with me, work-life balance is very easy because I love what I do. I love, love, love what I do. I always make time for others. I always make time for other things too and fun things. But I so enjoy what I do because I give back. And that gives me the greatest pleasure of all.
You have such a big heart. Alex and I talked about that all the time.
Oh, thank you.
When we were promoting Moose's March. And anybody, yeah, if you've met Tricia, like you, it doesn't matter how many times you tell the story of Moose is so, like, it touches you every single time you talk about it and what happened to
him. Yeah, it does. And, you know, I rescued him during the pandemic, right? When I didn't want to adopt another dog. I had, my dog had passed, my dog Zeus had passed away from Cushing's, and I just was not ready for another dog. And then it was my birthday of the during the pandemic, and I'm like, this is the worst birthday ever. I don't have any friends. I don't have my furniture. I don't have anything. I'm in a town. I'm working 7 days a week. And then I wandered in the back to make my rounds, as I usually did. It was a Saturday morning, and I looked at this dog, and I went to Sally Gowans, the foster coordinator. I'm like, can I take him home and foster him for the weekend? And I had to go through the same steps that any foster would go through. I mean, I really did. There was no exceptions. And I think that's a good thing. Just because I was CEO, there should be always be criteria. But yeah, I took him home and then brought him back on Monday morning. And I'm like, you're not going to stay with me. And then it was like, okay.
So I have an animal welfare question for you. During your time there, how did you deal with like compassion fatigue and the constant, you know, there's always something, an animal or a person that needs something? Am I correct? Was it harder in animal welfare than in for-profit, or is it just different?
No, I would say being CEO for Paw Humane Society was the toughest job I've ever had in my life. I will tell you that right now. I was on site every day, 7 days a week. 6 days I was there, roughly from 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:15 in the morning, until probably 6:37 p.m. at nighttime. And then Sundays I would always come in too. I think I took one vacation, and that ended up just blowing up, and then I had to come back. It's tough, especially during that time. It was an unknown. Again, I go back to the word uncharted territory. Emotions were running high. At that time, I'd hired 3 veterinarians, Dr. Crystal White, Dr. Devin, and Dr. Matthews for our spay-neuter veterinarian. And we were running, I mean, fast and hard, and really servicing the community, because we had a community owned, and we took care of our own. And we also took care of Columbus Animal Care and Control animals, too. So most people within animal welfare, you're also taking care of a government shelter as well. And then we would also work with all the rescues, because we had the only really operating veterinary clinic that was affordable. We had to move appointments outside. There was rampant rumors that dogs were spreading COVID. It was a time that people just were constantly on edge. Turnover was extremely high. I think we had at one point 45 employees coming and going. And from budgetary standpoints, if any CEO or executive director or CFO knows that every employee that comes to your door, you're spending about $1,500 on those employees. I had a gun pulled on me
one time got escorted home because a woman had given back her animal and she didn't like her decision. She came back and then she left notes. She came back with a white van with all her friends and she had like ropes and all kinds of things. And I'm not making this stuff up. And I don't think people understand this is what animal welfare goes through on a daily basis. And it's not just me, or it wasn't just me, it was other organizations as well. Because the thing is, we're so passionate and we love our animals so much and we would give them anything. And it's very hard because they can't speak for themselves. And so you're going by what I like to call anthropomorphism. So, oh my God, you know, I didn't eat it, blah, blah, blah. You know, and so you're trying to understand or surmise what's happening with the animal's health. And people can't afford things. And it was just, I've never been in a situation like that before in my life. And it was hard. And compassion fatigue is real. It is real. Taking care of yourself is so important. In fact, I was just on the phone with, Wendy Black from Footbridge Foundation, who's absolutely beautiful, an incredible organization in San Antonio, Texas. And I said, and she's been working so many hours, like most executive directors or CEOs do. And I said, please take time for you. I said, please take time because relationships suffer. And if you're not taking care of yourself, everything else is going to fall away. It doesn't matter at the end of the day if you work 6 days a week, 7 days a week, and you're bringing out all these donations and things like that. If you can't maintain yourself, if you can't sustain your own mental health and wellness, the cards are going to fall and that domino is going to go whoosh, you're going to crash. And I think for any animal welfare organization, compassion fatigue is real. Bring in resources. Do something fun. Take your staff out. I know Cape Coral Animal Shelter and Veterinary Clinic just had an ape day where they took all their employees to see the great apes and they got to interact with the apes. To do something fun for your staff, let them know that they're appreciated as well.
That's such great advice, Tricia. Alex has kind of felt that too, right? Alex, with your rescue and all the people dumping cats where you are?
Yeah, definitely. So my rescue based in Greece was really hard to deal with. I mean, compassion fatigue was an everyday thing because you deal with, you know, like cats suffering all the time every time you step out of the door, but you also have to deal with the humans, you know, humans not agreeing with what you're doing. Even when we're trying to educate them and telling them, I'm really doing this for the cats to like improve their life, they just don't get it and they get really upset.
Yeah.
And the amount of time they get violent and you just don't know how to react because you come from, you know, you come from a compassion place. You come from a good place, from a heart and kind place because you really want to help the animals. But it's hard to deal with the violence of the words or just like the physical violence coming from it.
It is. It is. And actually, I can't tell you the amount of time that we had animals just tied to that, you know, the pole, like things left. Somebody came and stole the carburetor of one of our vans, you know, and just like those things that you have to deal with on a daily basis. But I think the cruelty is one thing that I don't think I'll ever get past, and which is why I always say I'm better on the outside than the inside, because I am emotional. I think I will always come from a place of love. And it's hard when you see those things that you've never really seen before, all of a sudden go, oh, wow. You know, and how do you deal with that and still rising above that?
Wow. Well, Tricia, we are out of time, but how can people get a hold of you?
Why are you out of time? Let's talk some more. Oh my goodness. You can always reach out to me. You can find me on LinkedIn, on Facebook, or you can reach out to me at Tricia@moosesmarch.com. That's T-R-I-C-I-A at moosesmarch, moosesmarch.com. You can visit our website. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. I mentor. I'm happy to talk and always happy to help people. And so I think in today's time and this world that we're living in, things are, you know, there's a lot going on right now, especially related to animal welfare and euthanasia and the crisis that we're in for animal welfare. And we're all in this together. And I think that if we all rode together and we all lean upon each other, we're going to come out so much better on the other side.
Ugh, you just leave wonderful messages and thoughts out there, Tricia. Well, that's a wrap for this show. We're so excited to be doing this. Also, if you have a PR question or marketing question, please feel free to send it to us and we will address it on a future show. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram at The Whisker Report. So that's it for now. But as we always say, bark loud and purr smart. See you later.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.